missed him by that much.
Fuse Box. This is Fuse Box number 254. Sycophancia, and you are standing at the crosshairs of consequences.
Yeah, you know, some should be careful who they align their rhetoric with, friends. That might just make you their next target, if you get my drift. Well, greetings, friends, and welcome in to, indeed, this, the 254th edition of Fusebox, clinically entitled Sycophancia. And I am your compulsively obsessed, but thoroughly disinterested host, Mark Rose, over there, dodging the sonic bullets of radical transience, is the crown prince of the parametric, Milt Keynes. Hey, everybody.
Yeah, thank you kindly. Man, oh man, things are clearly heating up out there, bro. Yeah?
Well, yeah, I'd say in more ways than just temperature, for sure, and for true.
Orange guy did, in fact, dodge a bullet.
Yeah, and let's just say for the record that we have a lot of fun around here with various forms of cartoony dispatching of notable and not-so-notable personages, but we don't for one moment endorse this sort of violence, period. Full stop, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to smash an idiot with a falling piano, and a very different thing when bullets start to fly at a rally or wherever.
Having said that, the irony does not escape us, friends. These are the same folks who do positively every damn thing they can to deregulate gun control and are now, as we say, in the crosshairs.
Yeah, and if it doesn't shoot enough bullets, well, we got you covered there, too. Just use this here gizmo to make it a semi-automatic.
Well, it should be obvious that we're referring to the attempted assassination of the orange guy at a rally in Pennsylvania back on July 13th.
Of course, I wasn't watching this thing. So, I've seen the clips, of course, and, you know, to me, it really did sound like firecrackers at first.
Yeah, you know, and I had wondered if maybe the teleprompter shattered, and that's what really clipped the orange guy's ear there, you know?
You got something there, because in a way, his reaction was sort of like he'd been buzzed by a bee or something.
Adding to the already thick irony is the fact that the shooter, a chap named Thomas Matthew Crooks, was a registered Republican, by all indications.
I think it was reported that he had made a small donation to a Democratic organization back in 2021 or something. And that was, like, later debunked?
Correct. Yeah, he was. And he, of course, was shot by the Secret Service almost immediately.
So they're saying this guy was kind of the casebook example of a loner, you know? Bullied at school and all that sad stuff.
Sure is a very, very unfortunate thing. And again, this just underscores the need for peaceful discourse. Look, we're just not going to agree all the time about everything, particularly on political matters. That's just a natural thing. But bringing out the firearms to settle the differences is just not okay.
You know, this has just got me curious, though, bro. With all the NRA loving that the orange guy has done over the years, how's that working out for him now?
Yeah, fair question. you know, it'll be ironic, again, if this event starts some movement towards gun control, which is, as we know, seriously lacking, and whatever controls are in place are being eroded pretty regularly.
So, naturally, the first thing he does after this attempted assassination is grift. He puts out these $299 sneakers, which say fight, fight, fight on the side with a picture of the orange guy with his fist in the air, demonstrating clearly that he is a true patriot. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. Who could make this stuff up? He uses an attempt to remove him from the ballot, so to speak, as a platform to fundraise on. You know what? I might even understand it if it were to help raise awareness of gun control legislation.
Which would never happen.
Yeah, never, no. But I could understand using that event to draw attention to something like that, and help raise money for that. But sneakers?
The guy's a class act, bro. And his VP running mate there's clearly talking out of both sides of his neck. He's on record so many damn times calling the orange guy a threat, a detestable person, America's Hitler, and on and on and on.
Oh, yeah, that's a wondrously hypocritic thing. It's truly remarkable to me how all these previous statements, which we've all seen, by the way, and if you want to check them out, they're all out there, freely available. It's remarkable how these MAGAnoids continue to gaslight virtually everything and find some freakishly weird excuse to dismiss it all.
Yeah, they're blaming Biden for the assassination attempt.
Of course they are. Or maybe it wasn't a gunman at all, but a failed shot from a Jewish space laser.
The real gunman was the very dead Hugo Chavez.
I mean, we're kidding, but it might as well be ripped from the pages of the MAGAnoids playbook. Well, and as it turns out, we have a related story to the shooting in Pennsylvania, but it wasn't at all intended that way. It just sort of worked out like that. Also, another so stupid it could only come from the F place story. And a remarkably insane method of transporting live reptiles. Yeah. So stay with us, friends.
Or were they?
I still think you should have locked them up.
Friends, I just wanted to once again take a moment to tell you about a genuine labor of love from Fusebox contributor and just all-around decent chap, 42nd Street Pete, Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine. Well, in the first issue of GR, Pete does a fabulous job of retelling that first time he discovered what is commonly referred to as Euro horror, way back in 1965 when films like these played in real theaters and not on flickering TV sets at midnight or Saturday afternoons. Yeah, titles like The Awful Dr. Orloff, Lady Frankenstein, or even Terror Creatures from the Grave, where a youngster could spend an entire day in these theaters having the time of their lives. And as Pete writes, despite what you might think, be in an even safer place to experience them than today. Pick up a copy of Grindhouse Resurrection magazine today. There's a link in the show description to do just that.
The show for everybody, but not everybody will like it.
Fusebox.
TheFuseBoxShow.com.
So I just want to, for the record, as it were, mention the totally predictable result of the orange guy's document case in Florida, which, as we all know, was dismissed by Judge Aileen Cannon a few days back. Now, I say it was predictable, but legacy media was shocked by the turn of events, devastated. Well, maybe that's because they are so busy trying to dismantle the current president's run for a second term that they weren't paying attention. at all.
Oh, hell. Yeah, I'm losing patience with all of them, bro. We were talking about this the other day, and after that guy David Zaslav, the chairman of CNN, said at some swanky resort that he is only going to support parties who want to further deregulate the industry and help to allow further corporate, quote, consolidation to happen. I just kind of threw up in my mouth.
Sure, just make it easier for us to become one big megacorp that rules the world. Yeah, this kind of thing is, well, in one way, just pulling back the curtain on the true motivations for most of these legacy media operators. Damn the objective journalism thing. How do we spin this for our shareholders and advertisers? So, in, as I say, an unintended but related story to the attempted assassination in Pennsylvania there, we have this nugget submitted to us by our senior Florida correspondent, Gregory Wilson. Although this one is only slightly related to the sunshine hate. More from them coming up. Actually, it takes place in Yellowstone National Park. Just after midnight on July 4th, a woman claimed to park rangers there that she'd just been held at gunpoint by a man who said he planned to carry out a mass shooting inside the park.
What?
Yeah. Rangers spent the next several hours trying to find the gunman, later identified as Samson Lucas Beriah Fussner. No, I'm not making that up. Of Milton, Florida. Rangers found Fussner's vehicle at first, but not him. More than 20 law enforcement rangers, including a park special response team, looked for Fussner while organizing to protect park visitors and employees. But then, around 8 a.m. Thursday, law enforcement rangers encountered Fussner as he approached and fired a barrage of bullets with, again, a semi-automatic rifle at a service entrance. Then, the same barrage fired on a service entrance to the Canyon Lodge dining facility. The rangers, including one who was wounded, shot back, and their rounds hit the attacker, who died at the scene in the busy Canyon Village Tourist Lodge area near the scenic Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone National Park.
Holy carp! Well, what in hell was his motivation?
Not an easy answer to that question, Mr. Keynes.
Well, it was easy to ask.
So it would seem. Fussner's Facebook page, which is, of course, the first place you would go, it showed, if anything, pride about landing a concession job in Yellowstone, which is a typically seasonal gig that often involves cooking and serving food to the park's 3 million summer visitors. Fussner posted a photo of his Zantara Parks and Resorts badge and photos of him in snowy Yellowstone scenes from back in mid-May at the onset of summer tourist season. There are no posts hinting at anger or any other motivation for this shooting.
Now, of course, you know, there are reports of, like, animal encounters out there that go south a lot of the time, but...
But according to officials there, despite the rather loose gun restrictions in Wyoming, and they are pretty loose, no attack like this has ever happened in the park in recent memory, and no other injuries were reported.
Thank dog.
Yeah. Yellowstone Superintendent Cam Sholley said in a statement, "Thanks to the heroic actions of our law enforcement rangers, many lives were saved here last Thursday. The FBI was investigating. Per National Park Service policy, law enforcement rangers involved in a shooting are placed on paid administrative leave while the shooting is investigated," the statement said. That's pretty much straight policy, I think, with most law enforcement these days. Park officials did not immediately comment when asked if any Yellowstone law enforcement rangers had been placed on leave and how much weaponry Fussner possessed.
Oh, hell. He probably had a surface-to-air missile and twin bazookas that he kept in his tank.
Very strange. Very strange. Now, I find things like this really curious because, well, we'll really never know the end of this story. This will eventually become, say it with me, vague. And when that happens, friends, it fades from public consciousness and slides right off the reality map, and we'll never know.
Well, those damn ongoing investigations, they're ongoing, all right, ongoing right into the round file.
The deep state wants you, because nobody else does.
TheFuseBoxShow.com.
Speaking of things you wish would become vague and vanish into obscurity, Governor Ron the Sandslug has struck another wondrous blow for freedom of logic. Yes, so down there in that area, down there, as Florida copes poorly with rising seas and record temperatures, lawmakers are going to exceptional lengths to delete many mentions of climate change from state laws in a new bill that Republican Governor Ron the Sandslug just signed into law. That's right. This wide-ranging law makes several changes to the state's energy policy, in some cases deleting entire sections of state law that talk about the importance of cutting planet-warming pollution. The bill would also give preferential treatment to natural gas and ban offshore wind energy, even though there are no wind farms planned for Florida's coast.
Oh, well, you know, that was just a preemptive strike. You know, we don't want those wind farms cluttering up their flesh-eating, seaweed-covered beaches. Come on, bro.
Yeah, I see the logic of that for sure. Yeah. This empty-headed bill deletes the phrase climate 8 times, often in reference to reducing the impacts of global climate change through its energy policy or directing state agencies to buy climate-friendly products when they are cost-effective and available. The bill also gets rid of a requirement that state-purchased vehicles should be fuel-efficient. Why in hell would we want that? Florida rejects the designs of the left to weaken our energy grid, pursue a radical climate agenda, and promote foreign adversaries, the governor said in a post on X, posting a graphic that said the law would protect the state from green zealots.
Oh, for crying out loud. Hey, when's he going to Pennsylvania for a rally?
Now, Mr. Gates. They have wind farms there. Emily Hammond, a professor of law at George Washington University, said, what Florida is really doing is saying we're going to de-emphasize any policies that would help mitigate climate change.
Well, sticking their collective heads in the sand. You know, they got plenty of sand there.
Plenty. Plenty of sand. According to CNN, you remember them, it's certainly not the first time Republican politicians have deleted the phrase climate change. Erasing the phrase from government websites was a commonplace activity during the Trump administration. But experts said few other states have passed bills to move away from clean energy and erase climate mentions from their laws. It goes further than any other state has gone in repealing its existing climate laws. Michael Girard, founder of the Sabin Center for Climate Change Law at Columbia University. Add to this that last year was the hottest year on record for Florida, breaking yet another heat record in the state. South Florida, in particular, observed scorching heat index temperatures that reached as high as 113 degrees Fahrenheit. Sea levels have risen as much as 8 inches higher than they were in 1950, already leading to increased flooding from storms and tides alike. Florida is one of the most vulnerable states in the country, Girard said. All of South Florida is in great peril from sea level rise. They should be the last state to stand in the way of fighting climate change.
And they will be the last.
And it's why we patiently intone the still to this day unanswered question,
what the fuck, Florida?
And lastly, friends, this rather Florida-esque item, which is not, as it turned out. This item, sent to us by Jody Lorimer, is, well, here we go. It involves the illegal transport of a certain reptile in a most unconventional way. According to China's customs authority, one man traveling into the mainland China city of Shenzhen from Hong Kong was caught with over 100 live snakes in his pants as he attempted to smuggle the poor reptiles into the country for an unknown reason.
For an unknown reason.
The mind boggles, Mr. Case. Well, or at least it writhes around a bit before escaping down a drainpipe. Upon inspection, the report says, customs officers discovered that the pockets of the trousers the passenger was wearing were packed with 6 canvas drawstring bags and sealed with tape. Once opened, each bag was found to contain living snakes in all kinds of shapes, sizes, and colors. According to the statement, the man's massive cargo pants contained a total of 104 snakes, including milk snakes and corn snakes. Many of the reptiles were non-native species, which are, of course, restricted under China's biosecurity and disease control laws. Quoting, those who break the rules will be held liable in accordance with the law, said the customs agency, without specifying the serpent smuggler's sentencing.
Well, he's clearly sent to Florida to erase the words climate change from all the textbooks.
And with those wriggling reptiles of destiny exclamations, we'll call it a show. But not before thanking our contributors to this edition of Fusebox, Nico Lane, Eric Newsom, and Gregory Wilson for splendiferous ID finessing with or without snakes. Thanks as well to the man who wouldn't even be a member of his own club, the Archbishop of Amplitude, Milt Keynes, for technical assistance and so forth and so on.
A pleasure as always, and folks, you can help to support the, well, whatever the hell this is we do over here, by going to our Patreon page and becoming a member of this very elite group.
Indeed, a very elite and not at all creepy group of very informed individuals who know a damn good thing when they see it and want to help out. By doing so, they, you, receive free swag, early show releases, and access to hidden and deeply secretive information known only to those shadowy figures from a shadowy world.
It's patreon.com/thefusebox show to make it all happen. And we thank you bigly.
Indeed, we do. And thanks as well to the good folks at Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine for their continued faith and support. A new issue is underway, and you can get all those details at 42nd Street Pete.
Oh, and just a reminder, we can change all this upside down, batshit, crazy stuff going on out there in our world by becoming the ones we're waiting for. Vote. It's really important this time out. Maybe even the most important.
Well, yeah, I vote yes on that one for sure. And we are the final jury in this scenario. So, there you go. Thanks to you, friends, for pushing play on this one. We would be mighty lonely without your eager ears to feed. And I have been your awaiting a super lizard to make some judicial headway. Mark Rose, saying, until our next cartoon.
Why not men? Never get a boy. If you a man,